Today we have with us Ms. Rumi Malik Mitra, Leader Strategy and New Initiatives at India IBM CSR. In the current role, Ms. Mitra is driving strategy and partnership to introduce a global program in India with a focus on digital platforms. In her previous role as the head of CSR for IBM India South Asia, she was leading the CSR function and designed and initiated IBM's flagship program, STEM for Girls, for government schools running across 10 states. Ms. Mitra, an absolute delight to have you with us today.
Thank you so much, Yamini. It's a pleasure to be here.
Thank you, ma'am. So, ma'am, before we begin, we would like to understand a little bit about your background and how you got started with IBM.
Well, this is my fourth year running with IBM. And in my previous work, as I started working, I'm an urban planner by profession. But what had interested me was the role of technology in development. So a lot of the work that I had started doing was around how technology can enable, whether it's education, urban development, municipal corporations, schools and colleges. This was a lot of the deep dive that I had done over the years. When I joined IBM, what was exciting for me was to look at the portfolio that had all the interesting elements of IBM's technology, and you will get to know more about it as I speak more. So IBM's technology, IBM's core skills and IBMers, and all put together the kind of vision that a company like IBM has. So over the years, in the past 4 years, we did spend a lot of time in building the portfolio for India with a focus on India's development priorities, as well as a strong alignment to globally our core values and our philosophy and the way we work.
Right. That's wonderful to hear. And, you know, following on from IBM's vision, this philosophy of tech for good, can you tell us a little bit about that philosophy and how that makes its way into your initiatives?
Yes, sure, certainly. So IBM, as you know, it's a 109-year-old cloud innovation and artificial intelligence company. Right. When you say tech for good, we say good tech IBM. And we mean, you know, not only making technologies responsibly, which we do, it's also technology free of bias, especially in case of AI. Right. And technology that is made with sustainable practices. But also, over and above, technology that positively impacts individuals and communities around the world. Now, this is what good tech IBM or tech for good means for us. Yeah. We rely a lot on our core values as a company, and which is about trust and responsibility. And this has been the cornerstone of not only IBM's business strategy since the very beginning, but this is a value that permeates our culture. And they are core to every relationship, whether it is with our employees, with our clients, with our stakeholders, as well as the communities in which we work and live. Now, IBM core values reflects in our core philosophy of doing CSR, which is primarily, as I was mentioning before, is to apply the power of our technologies, our talent, and collaboration to help bring people together. So our core values, our core philanthropy, all of philosophy, all of this then reflects in our CSR strategy and our programs. So there are two points that I want to mention here. One, from a focus perspective, CSR is a strategic intervention for us to solve large-scale problems that meet the need of communities and their emerging needs. In terms of focus, we look at it from two sides. One, tech for good, which is where we are uniquely positioned to use our technologies, whether it is AI and cloud and data, as well as our techniques like agile and design thinking, to look at solving bigger challenges, whether it is actions against anti-trafficking, supporting disaster recovery or disaster actions during disaster, or even healthcare, especially with cancer. And the second focus that we have is about creating lifelong learning opportunities. And you may already know this, which when we say lifelong learning opportunities, we focus again on preparing learners for the new collar jobs of the future. So emerging technologies and skills that would help prepare the learners for their future. So this together combines the whole idea around using tech responsibly and using tech for good.
Wonderful to hear, and I think it's great how you know, you have a general philosophy that ties in not just to the business, but also to the CSR. And the CSR is no longer just a different part of the business, but it's all, you know, kind of come together into this beautiful tech for social good component. So that's wonderful.
Yes.
Now, you mentioned that you look at lifelong learning opportunities for learners, and IBM is now gradually becoming a very prominent player in the digital skilling space. So can you tell us a little bit about, you know, your decision to go into this space and what current initiatives are underway?
Yes. So before I do that, let me just highlight a couple of points, which is inherent to our overall CSR strategy and a strategy for skilling and education. Our skills development strategy is to start early, which means we start at schools where the preparedness for the future really begins. So our program interfaces with students who are as young as 12-year-olds, and then we deep dive in the secondary and the senior secondary level, and then sharpen the focus as we move towards post-school, whether it is vocational, ITI, and then undergraduate levels. Second, when we talk about skills and education and skills, we have a holistic focus and a continuum approach towards development, which has the learner, whether it is the student or the teacher, the educator, at the center of the design and process, which means that we look at engaging the teacher and the faculty equally along with students.
Right.
The third thing, when we look at workforce development, we look at offering designs, courses that provide, as I mentioned, lifelong learning. Hence, the focus is not around trade skills development. The focus is around more holistic development, where 21st century skills like the critical thinking, sense making, collaboration, they go hand in hand with learning new technologies. So making sense of the world around you is as important as learning to use artificial intelligence, for example.
Right.
So this three things forms the pillars of our interventions and our designs in skills and development. Our programs reflect our objective to nurture skills and workplace skills for new collar economy. How we also approach this is that we have IBM academic programs that collaborate with universities, with colleges that offer specific technology level coursework. But we do have a multi-pronged strategy out here, an approach where IBM CSRs in parallel supplements and complements those efforts also and focuses on skilling and empowering the next generation, but with a focus on underserved communities. So we work with different, several diverse constituents from our school level to the undergraduate, to the graduate level. And through those programs, we try to equip our youth with the requisite skills that's required. Cool. Now, as a leading technology company, we do have a huge opportunity, but we believe that we also have a responsibility of building those kind of necessary skills in the workforce, building those workforce for the future. Now, we understand, like everybody else, that 90% of the jobs are going to be impacted with technology. So globally, when we look at the beneficiaries, they include a diverse set of beneficiaries, from students and learners to teachers and faculty, but also veterans and those who are looking to come back to jobs.
Right.
Those who have stopped midway, especially women, for example, and they need to come back and join jobs, so they need to be reskilled. So for us, the whole spectrum is a huge one and the ecosystem is a huge one. I'm not going to repeat, but you're already aware, I think we have spoken about this before, about our open PTEC, PTEC model, for example, which is a model school, which is a global program. We have, when I say we start early, we start with, for example, engaging students to think about innovation at a school level. We have the STEM for Girls program that starts looking at building computational skills of students at a very early stage and focusing on girls, because we are looking at inclusion, we are looking at bringing everybody together, we are looking at putting the learner at the center of these things. IBM also has an apprenticeship career training program globally, in the US primarily, and they are paired with IBM mentors and IBM takes classes and helping the students to acquire those technologies, technology and those business skills. In India, for example, we have a variety of programs that addresses each of these needs in close partnership with the government. Let me mention two programs that we have initiated since early last year, which is the Open BTEC program and the Skills Build program, which is two of our large online learning platforms, starting with foundational skills, which is to demystify the whole idea of being digitally literate on new technologies. So Open BTEC introduces this model early to learners who may not have any prior knowledge of technology, or may come from very non-technology background in their school and in their college. But the idea is for them to be introduced to these new skills, and starting early and starting at a foundational level, that can then demystify the, you know, the whole idea of learning this kind of new skills. So with Open BTEC, we have a great starting point of learners, and then we have Skills Build that then nurtures those learners, especially those who are looking at coming back to the workplace, nurtures those learners through specific role sets, handholds them, mentors them, and also helps them connect to the jobs that are available in the market. So with a continuum approach starting at schools, college, vocational, we try to build it all together, addressing the needs of both students, faculty, as well as the ecosystem.
Right.
This is our approach.
I think those are some great initiatives, simply because, you know, we read about all this data that cybersecurity, cloud computing, AI, this is where a majority of the demand really lies. And the supply of workforce in these areas is so poor. And it's such a tragedy that our curriculums till now have not been able to inculcate this at an early level. But it's great that IBM is, you know, working tirelessly to do that and, you know, introduce these options early on so that people can actually treat them as viable career options. And when following on from what you said about education and skilling going together, we've just seen the new education policy come out.
Yes.
Has, you know, placed vocation as well as a tech-supported curriculum at the center of our mainstream education system. So how has IBM, you know, approached the policy, and how have you partnered with the government really on this reform?
Yes, sure. So NEP is... NEP has proposed several changes that are outstanding in the education system, from a school to a college level. The PM, as we recall, said that NEP is going to be the foundation for New India, and it will help close the gap between education and research. And I think this is very refreshing for a lot of us. NEP has laid the ground for foundational literacy and numeracy, and it says there is no rigid separation between academic streams, extracurricular, vocational streams, and related. And in the wake of NEP, CBSE made an announcement that they are looking at offering vocational courses from an early stage of class 6, which is very ambitious and I think very evolutionary, and to class 11. Now, students are expected to study these courses from an early age and going forward, so that they are able to decide and take more informed decisions about their career. Now, while NEP has been talking about the changes in the classroom, it has also spoken about new technologies. It has called out artificial intelligence, design thinking, and the like at a school level. So we, as a part of our strategy and core philosophy, we look at, IBM looks at being the trusted partner for the government, not-for-profits, academia, to bring many of these new thinking forward.
Right.
We were very glad that, you know, we had seen the need in preparing young generation to upgrade their skills and proficiency pretty early on, and build their awareness to explore those various career options that we are talking about now. So this gave us quite an early start, as you know, as a part, as we see, as a part of our work in India. So we had taken, with the continuum approach that we had taken, we had tried to address all of this skills requirement at a school level early on. So many of our partnerships actually tie into the whole idea of building skills that go beyond academic curriculum to those that are much more functional and required at a larger level, not only to be a good workforce, but also that helps you to survive better, that helps you to sustain in your workplace, that helps you to become more independent as a thinker and perhaps look at entrepreneurship. So there are many of these activities that we have been anchoring with several of our leading partners like Niti Aayog through the ATL program, the Atal Tinkering Lab program, where we work with teachers and students to inculcate innovation thinking through design thinking. We have been working with state education departments, and this is, I think, the first time that anybody looked at thinking about computational thinking at a government school level, starting with girls, but also including the boys. Because it's not simply about learning technology, it is about how do you make sense of that technology and your real world. So developing that kind of STEM mindset that the NEP is talking about today. Looking at going beyond traditional trade skills to be much more holistic in preparing the students with those future skills areas. So all of this tie-in, our very recent partnership with the National Skills Development Corporation for our Open PTech platform in itself takes many of these platforms and learnings to those underserved who are otherwise at this point of time, especially due to COVID, are not able to get back to their classrooms or learn this many different new areas that they need to be skilled on. So I think we are glad that we have been well placed with our various collaborations across the board, whether it is the government or the not-for-profits that we work with very closely. They bring in the kind of expertise that is required to connect policy and practice, as well as academics, where much of the need is about preparing the students. And I think academia has become much more open now to look at how partnerships can be facilitated better. And I think we have been pretty successful, especially with our college programs, where we have taken technology learning to non-technology students and successfully been able to connect them to employment that can give them a new, you know, life and in career. Right. So we see NEP as a great sort of enabler in the process that we are in. This is also a great starting point of new models of learning, given that with COVID, a lot of digital learning has enhanced. And I think NEP has led that great ground of enabling all of these processes together to create a much more effective learning environment for students in the country.
I think you're absolutely right. The education fraternity has really opened up to see what were some glaring gaps in the curriculum over the past decades and what really needs to change. And we've seen some amazing collaborations in light of this policy. And I think we definitely look forward to see the kind of impact that IBM is going to have with its collaborations. Now, you know, we've discussed about the past and all that is going on. Now let's talk about what's in the pipeline for the future, especially when it comes to IBM's digital skilling presence.
Sure. So before I go to that from an advanced level, I think the point that we always remind ourselves is that we are a company that brings advanced technologies into the marketplace. So we do feel a deep responsibility to ensure that learners have the right skills required to use them, which includes not only skills to, let's say, use an AI to create, but also to have a strong ethical understanding of how AI can be used. I'm just giving you this as an example in terms of how we really approach our skills and education and all our initiatives that to see. Now, we are very excited that we are able to bring new tools and coursework in collaboration with our expert partners for youth and for new learners in the country. And our online channels, online platforms of learning will continue to bring that kind of new learning and new tools and new coursework going forward. Lockdowns have forced students around the world to learn from home. It has resulted in a dramatic increase in the use of online tools, something that is unprecedented, I believe. And today, students are comfortable using video conferencing and LMS, learning management system, and several assessment tools inbuilt into the platforms are also helping them into personalized learning journeys and learn better. So learner behavior has changed dramatically. And we believe that we are also going to look at or continue to look at our technologies to fuel that journey, to help or continue to improve that learning experience of a learner. On how you're not only learning, but you also, there's a lot associated with how to improve your learning journey and personalized learning journey.
Right.
Second, we know that students, from an online learning perspective, students who have a high level of self-motivation and persistence and independence, they have thrived in a scenario, in a COVID-19 scenario where a lot of online learning has been fueled. But others who do not have those qualities, they have often struggled. So similarly, as we know, COVID has led to a lot of emotional toil also. It has raised awareness around, it has led to many different outcomes from a mental health perspective. And I think this is also a right time to raise those awareness around anxiety and depression and mental health issues that students and learners often face. I think this is a reminder for, it has been a reminder for all of us also to focus on the whole. So it's not about just developing technology skills, but it is also about developing those kind of skills and awareness that go beyond those and beyond simply trying to find work.
Right.
So here, this is about, building those kind of courses and skills program or learning program that can help students to also cope with such very different non-measurable items that we often don't see before. Hence, courses like, learning like mindfulness or even meditation or how to take care of your mental health. Now, these things are going to become more and more important. So we don't want to lose sight of those also in our strive to look at technology learning. So we do want to look at it as a very holistic approach to what would help students as they learners as they go forward. Then, pandemic has driven educators to try out a lot of innovation models, and we were pleasantly surprised after the initial hiccups. Many, many teachers have gone into, using online platforms as new delivery mechanisms to reach their students, and they're constantly innovating in terms of really what they can do with those platforms. But we also don't want to lose sight of what we have learned over these decades of research and education reforms, which is while we are introducing new models, we should also continue to deepen our focus on the core skills development in classrooms. So once colleges and schools go back, we have to refocus on the core and the fundamental and what matters the most. Hence, we do believe that online journey may not be replacing a classroom experience at all. It will continue to complement that experience. So these are the three sort of foundational thinking that we have around how we approach the developments and the new skilling models that we're going to bring in the future. So a combination of, coursework, combination of really how do you focus and balance between classroom and online learning, and third, not moving your attention away from teachers who continue to be the core of any learning program, as well as refocusing back on elements that are not a traditional part of the curriculum, like mindfulness, for example, but making sure that they're also a part of that journey of a student's learning, whether it is online or offline.
I must say, I'm really glad to hear that, mental health is finally a conversation that we are now having when it comes to technology. And I think it's great, this approach of content and character, which is really something, a holistic development model that many can actually learn from. So this is absolutely heartening to hear that IBM is going to focus
thank
on.
Thank you.
And with that, we would like to end our interview today. Thank you so much for being a part of this. I think it was great to hear everything that IBM has in store. And I really look forward to the future.
Thank you very much, Yamini. It's been a pleasure to be here and interacting with you. Thank you.